We are up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah now turns its attention, shifts its attention from Kriya Shema itself to the brachos of Kriya Shema. On a future occasion, I will sort of take the opportunity to detour a little bit of that which is not really discussed in the Gemara, but is a major issue in the Rishonim, is what is the nature of the brachos of Kriya Shema? As a general rule, when we perform mitzvos, we have a tendency to make a bracha. You pick up a lulav, an esrog, and you make a bracha on the tilas lulav. You enter the sukkah to do the mitzvah, you say leshe basukkah. You put on tefillin, you put on talis, you kia shofar, mikra megillah. The chachamim, generally speaking, instituted brachos on mitzvos. The question is there in fact a Berachos HaMitzvah for Kriya Shema? Or, put differently, are the brachos that we recite considered Berachos HaMitzvah for Kriya Shema? Now, at least on the surface, it doesn't look like it, because we have a general idea of what a nusach, what a text of a bracha looks like for a mitzvah. You say, as I said, Al Netilas Lulav, Leishei Basukar, Al Mikra Megillah, An Halal. Okay, which halal is a mitzvah, it's not a physical mitzvah, it's a mitzvah of a speech. Just like Kriya Shema, you say, likro es halal. But clearly, the brachos of Kriya Shema don't fit that pattern. The first bracha of Kriya Shema, both in morning and night, are basically brachos of praise to God for creation of the universe, for day and night. And the second bracha, during the day and at night, is basically what we might describe as Birchas HaTorah. It's a praise of God or giving thanks to God for having given us the Torah. And we will explore that a little bit when we get to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, which may take a little bit of time. And the brachos after, the first bracha after Kriya Shema is really the theme is really about Yitzias Mitzrayim, God is the Redeemer. And then we have a fourth bracha at night, Hashkivenu, which clearly from the Gemara is kind of an expansion of some kind, about going to sleep. It's really clearly not related to Kriya Shema itself at all. But the question is, despite the fact that thematically speaking, Birchos Kriya Shema don't seem to fit the model of a Birchos HaMitzvah, do they in fact have that characteristic, whatever the reason might be? I will conclude my opening here by talking about what we're not going to discuss, by reminding you of a really interesting comment that Tosfos had on the first daf in Brachos, the bottom of the first Amud, when the discussion transpired amongst the Rishonim of the problem of davening in shul and reciting Birchas Kriya Shema earlier, before the Zman Kriya Shema. So Tosfos there quoted, I believe it was in Tosfos, quoted an opinion from the Gaonim that when you reread Kriya Shema at night, to be Yotze Kriya Shema, let's say you're reading it when you go to sleep, you actually make a bracha, Sher Kedishon Tosavati Vanu L'Kriya Shema, or something of that nature. So that certainly, that suggestion very clearly implies that our Birchas Kriya Shema are not, in fact, the Birchas HaMitzvah, because if they were, they would have looked exactly like that particular bracha. Anyway, we will come back to that. But in the meantime, I want to first just approach the Mishnah itself, because the Mishnah itself is the way it's read. It is somewhat difficult. And there are a number of opinions amongst the Rishonim as to how to read what seems to be on the surface a fairly simple Mishnah. So the Mishnah says as follows. Bishachar Mevarech shtayim lefaneha v'achas lachara. In the morning, you make two brachos before Kriya Shema. Those brachos would be Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Yotzer Or Varech Hoshech Oseh Shalom Ovarei Sakol. This is the beginning of the bracha, but the bracha doesn't end until you get all the way to Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer HaMeoros. So that is the first bracha. The second bracha is Abba. Well, the Gemara will actually have a debate about whether the bracha that you're supposed to make is Ava Rabba or Avas Olam. And as I'm sure many of you realize immediately, our practice, the Gemara suggests that it's the same bracha. It doesn't sound like there's a difference between morning and night. You either say Ava Rabba in the morning and night, or you say Avas Olam. And the minhag of Ashkenazim, at least, is that we say Ava Rabba in the day, in the morning, and we say Avas Olam at night. But both of those brachas are fundamentally the same thing. The idea that God exhibited his tremendous love for us by giving us Torah and mitzvos. Torah and mitzvos are not a burden. They're a manifestation of God's love for us. So you make shtayim lefanah, and achas lachareha is emes v'yatziv, etc., ending with Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. So before we talk about the next line of the Mishnah, I just want to comment something, which I'm not going to explain everything now, but as we start to grapple with brachos, and this is really the first time in the Masechta, I know it's named brachos, but it's the first time we're grappling with really sort of classic brachos issues, notice something about the formation. I'm going to use the term matbea shel brachos, the form or the mold in which the brachos are made. We begin the first bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. We have what's called Shem and Malchus. A bracha that just says Baruch Atah Hashem, like Yotzer HaMoros, only has Shem. You have the Shem Hashem. But when you add Elokeinu Melech Olam, that introduces the theme of Malchus into the bracha. And we're going to see later in the Masechta, I don't think it's on Yudalf and Beis, but it's going to come up a number of times, the idea of what is the minimum requirement for a bracha to be considered a bracha. Do you need a bracha that has to have shame, or does a bracha have to have shame umalchus? But notice that in the first bracha, it began with shame umalchus. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Yotzer Orvay Choshech. The end, the chasima of the first bracha before Kriya Shema, was simply Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMoros. There's no Malchus in there. The next Baruch of Kriya Shema does not even begin with a Baruch. It begins Abba Rabba Avtonu. It ends Baruch Atah Hashem HaBocher Bamo Yisrael Be'avos. You have a Baruch with shame, but no Malchus. Similarly, we go after Kriya Shema, Emes V'yatziv does not begin with a Baruch, and it ends with a Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, to be distinguished from the bracha in Shmona Esrei, which is Goel Yisrael, but it ends with Goal Yisrael, no Malchus, just Shem. Again, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. So that's the bracha that we make, the brachas that we make in the morning for Kriya Shema. Then the Mishnah says, at the end of the first line, Uva Erev Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneha, Ushtayim Lachareha. At night we make two brachos before and two brachos afterwards. And think about those brachos. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Bidvaro Ma'ariv Aravim. First bracha begins with a bracha, with Shem and Malchus. It ends Baruch Atah Hashem, Hama'ariv Aravim. It ends with a bracha, so it starts and ends with a bracha, but the bracha at the end doesn't have Malchus in it. The next bracha begins Avas Olam, and it ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Ohev Amo Yisrael. Just like in the morning, the second bracha does not begin with a baruch, but it ends with a baruch, but with shame and without malchus. And then, not surprisingly, the first bracha after Kriya Shema, Emes Ve'emunah, ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, once again, Goal Yisrael. That's the Geula. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, really, by right, we should have started Shmon Esrei immediately. We would have had Smichas Geula L'Tfilah, except that the Chachamim instituted another bracha, Hashkivenu, but the Gemara describes it as a Geula Arichta. It's like an extension of Goal Yisrael, and therefore, if you begin your Shmon Esrei right after Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, the end of Hashkivenu, that's also called Somech Geula L'Tfila. So that bracha as well ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, and on Shabbos there's a different ending, but both of those are brachos that they have no baruch at the beginning. They have a bracha at the end with shame, but no, it has shame, but no malchus. So we have a total then of seven brachos of Kriya Shema. There is a I don't want to say it's a minag, it's a din, something between a din and a minag, that you're supposed to make 100 brachos every day. So when they count the brachos that you make, you get seven out of Kriya Shema. Rashi here quotes a Yerushalmi based upon a verse in chapter 119 of Psalms, Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, somehow is a reference to the seven brachos of Kriya Shema, which, by the way, the idea, it doesn't say Sheva Bayom Berach Ticha, it says Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, which makes sense because really Birchos Kriya Shema don't relate, whether they are or are not a Birchas HaMitzvah in the technical sense, they don't relate to Kriya Shema fundamentally at all. They are basically praise of God for the creation of the cosmos, for the giving of the Torah, and for God as the Redeemer, the God as the one who intervenes in the affairs of humanity to save the oppressed. Okay, so this is the simple part of the Mishnah. Seven brachos, three in the morning, two and one, four at night, two and two. Now, the Mishnah says the following: Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara. Now, just as a fun exercise, if I'm willing to get volunteers, could someone translate this for me? There's more than one option, so there's a pretty good chance that if you translate it, you'll get one of the possibilities. How would you translate Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara? Josh, were you volunteering there?
I was going to say one long and one short.
So that's the simple reading, the way Rashi reads it. One long and one short. So then you have to figure out what the antecedent is. There is, that is, in fact, probably the better reading of the Mishnah. We're going to spend a fair amount of time reading a passage in the Rashba. He also reads it that way. However, and we'll explain why when we look at Tosos, Rabbi Natan was not happy with that reading. And there is another way to read Achas Arucha, Achas Kitzara.
Arucha is like organized? Like
No, Josh was correct. Arucha, that's with an ayin. Arucha and Kitzara are long and short. It's really a question of what Achas v'Achas means. So Josh said one long and one short. But Rabbeinu Tam points out, and this is certainly true, by the way, that there is a very common idiomatic usage in rabbinic literature. For example, I think this is the context. The Mishnah speaks about a woman whose husband just died cannot remarry until she's waited 3 months to know that she's not pregnant. So the Mishnah says, Achas arusos v'achas nesuos. Now that doesn't mean one who are arusos and one who are nesuos. That means whether aruchos or nesuos. It's not an uncommon expression where you say achas gedolav achas ketana. It can mean whether small or big. So you could read, I would never have thought to read it this way. I would have read it exactly the way Josh did, the way Rashi and Rashba read it. But you could have read, you could argue, achas aruchos v'achas ketana means whether or not you make it long or short, which could be read, Rabbeinu Tam at least, in one reading, not the one that's found in our Tosos, but the way it's one version of Rabbeinu Tam is presented in the Rashba, Achas Verucha v'Achas Kitzara is to be read as whether or not you want to make it long or short. Whatever, we have to explain what long and short means. That's the real crux of the debate in the Rishonim we're going to be looking at. But Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara could mean when you make the seven brachas of Kriya Shema, you can make them long or you can make them short. Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara. Doesn't matter whether it's long or short. And then we have to explain what does long or short mean. But that is the other way of reading the expression Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara. Now, the way I just presented that reading, it modifies what precedes it in the Mishnah. Now, Josh's reading, which is Rashi's, clearly modifies that which precedes it in the Mishnah, but you have to figure out what it means. And the way Rashi reads it is Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara refers to the brachos right after Kriya Shema, meaning the last two brachos, the Shnayim Lachareha, Emes Femuna, and Hashkivenu. So Rashi is saying one of them is long, that's Emes Femuna, and one of them is short, which is Hashkivenu. And in truth, in our Sidurim, it's not unreasonable to say that Emes Femuna is longer substantially than Hashkivenu. I haven't done a word count, but I think impressionistically, I'm sure it's longer if you actually did a word count, than impressionistically, it's not a close race. So Rashi says, Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara modifies the Shtayim la'achareha. And Rabbeinu Tam in one reading would say that Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara means Emes Femuna can be long or short. It doesn't matter. And we'll explain what that means. Now, another way of reading Rabbeinu Tam's Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara is what follows in the Mishnah. Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara, when you have a bracha, whether it's a bracha that's long or short, Makom she'amru laharich eino rashai lekatzer, lekatzer eino rashai laharich. In other words, whenever you have a bracha that is designated as long or short, and we'll talk about how we know in a moment, if the chachamim said to make it long, you're not allowed to make it short. If they said you're not allowed, you're supposed to make it long, you're not allowed to make it short. If they said you're supposed to make it short, you're not allowed to make it long. And then you have to just know, when did the Chachamim say something is long and when did the Chachamim say something is short? But if you read that way, Achas Arucha v'Achas Kitzara doesn't modify what precedes it, it modifies what follows. So we're going to come back to that in a moment. Then the Mishnah concludes by stating, Lachtom, which means makom she'amru lachtom, whenever they said to make a chasima, which presumably means to place a baruch at the end, ein rashai shelo lachtom. You're not allowed to not make a baruch at the end. And shelo lachtom, whenever they said not to add a baruch at the end, ein rashai lachtom, then you can't add the baruch. Now let me just give you kind of two examples of this. When you think about it, when you have very short brachos, you make a shahakol niyabidvaro, you make al natilas lulav, the bracha begins with a baruch. It doesn't end with a baruch. In effect, there's no place to put a baruch at the end. However, there are longer brachos where the potential for opening and ending with a baruch exists, but sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. So a classic example, which we already mentioned, where you have a long, what was long, at least in text, which opens and closes with a bracha, is Yotzer or Avarech Hoshech. The bracha begins, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Avarech Hoshech, Asa Shalom Eretz HaKol, HaMeir La'aretz, etc. Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Amaros. An example of a bracha that's very long, that does not have a bracha at the end, even though you might have thought it would get it, is Birchas HaTov VeHametiv in benching, in Birchas HaMazon. Right? We start Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam, HaKel Avinu, Adireinu, Bareinu, etc. And you get, it's a long bracha. It's not like an al natila sulav, and you get to the end and there's no baruch at the end. So you have brachos here where sometimes there's a chasima and sometimes there's no chasima. And of course, we've already seen many brachos. We mentioned avarabba, emes famuna, which don't begin with a baruch. They're not poseach bebaruch, but they're chosein bebaruch. So the reading of the second half of the Mishnah, the simple reading for the moment, and it will stand more or less, with maybe a minor modification, is makom she'amru lachtom, if they said to stick a baruch at the end of the bracha, ina rashay shalachtom, you're not allowed to omit it. You can't decide, I'm not going to say baruch atah Hashem yotzer hamaros. You know, I think we've said enough. We've given praise to God, yotzer avarech hoshech, and we said, lakel baruch nimos yitenu, and then we say, or chadash altzer and tem, and yiskel cholon meher alaro, thank you very much, let's go on to avarabba. That's not an option. You have to finish with baruch atah Hashem yotzer hamaros. And a bracha, and a bracha which doesn't have a chasima, you can't add a chasima. In other words, you can't add a chasima at the end of the fourth bracha, Birchas HaMazon, even though it's a long bracha, even though it should have been able to accommodate it. If you want to see, by the way, an example of a bracha that's kind of in between in length, begins and ends with a bracha, it's the bracha after Mikra Megillah. After we read the Megillah, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Machalam, Harabis Rivenu, Vadonis Didenu, Vanokemis Nitmasenu, Vamashalenu Chol Vaven Avshenu, Anifralanu Mitzarenu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hakel Anifralam Yisrael, Mikol Tzarehem, Hakel HaMoshiach. So you have it's an in-between length of bracha. Okay, so the simple reading of the Mishnah is, if you're supposed to have a chasim at the end of the bracha, you have to put a chasima there. And if you're not
is there...
put a chasima, you don't put a chasima.
Is there any bracha that we have an option to do either way? I mean, what's the havamina?
No. Okay, so let me step back. That's an excellent question, Larry. What's the havamina? So we live in a very strange world. We live in the world of the...
That's for sure.
What?
That's for sure that we live in a strange world.
Yeah, yes. I'm only speaking about the world of Torah for the moment. Even within the world of Torah, in our framework of the Dalet Amos Shel Torah, we live in a strange world. The strange world was made strange by this, the printed book. The printed book has the effect of crystallizing and solidifying things that were not always necessarily solid. And in this Mishnah, there's going to be a major machlokas harishonim to some extent. It's not obviously impacted by the printed book, because the printing press was only invented in the 15th century. But the question of the fluidity of tefillah, we tend to think that our tefillah, you look up in the Siddur, I know the Sfar, there's Ashkenaz, but basically it's rigid, you can't change anything. That is historically, it's true today, I'm not saying whether it's halachically true, but when we read rabbinic sources with that view in mind, is completely anachronistic. Just to take a simple example from the Mishnah of the fifth Perek in Brachos. The Mishnah, you can turn to the Mishnah actually. The Mishnah is on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And the Mishnah says the following. It's about in the middle of the page, right when the lines are medium width. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer, when the fifth parak, we're talking about tefillah. And we're really talking about tefillah means probably the Amida. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer al kan sipor yagi rachamecha, v'al tov yizocher shemecha. Or if someone says modem twice, modem, modem, mishatkin oso. Chazanim should take that. Okay. Now, you look at this Mishnah, and this is a famous, famous Mishnah, Rabosai. It's famous, not because of anything to do with brachos, but because of the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim and what this implies about mitzvos and what the Gemara says. What's wrong with saying that God had mercy on the mother bird? And the Gemara says, because he makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos rachamim and they're only gezeros. So this becomes a major topic, you know, in Jewish philosophy. But just step back for a second and ask yourself the question, which I, when I hear this discussed, I never heard anybody ask this question. Where in the Siddur did he say, where does it say Al-Kan Sipa Yagi Rachamecha? Is there somewhere that it says Nusach Acher? It says in the Siddur Al-Kan Sipa Rachamecha, and the Mishnah is telling you, don't say that. The answer is, Balei Tfila, the Shatz used to make up stuff on the fly. I believe that a lot, by the way, of a Hakalir, Rabbi Lazar Hakalir's, many of his piyutim, I mean, were made up on the fly. He was that good. It was just like composed on the spot. I mean, it's inconceivable to us, but if your world exists of knowing rabbinic literature and Tanakh Baal Peh, and that's primarily what you know, you can do those things, right? Tefillah was not rigid or fixed. There were certain rules about tefillah that existed. The Gemara will say that Kol HaMishana Mimatbeya Shetavu Bo Chachamim is, you're not Yotzei. Yeah, the Chachamim, when they made a matbea, when they made a mold for us of tefillah, the mold wasn't from beginning to end. There are certain rules. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan debate whether or not you need to have shame and malchus to be a bracha, or shame is sufficient. It may very well be that the themes of each of the 18 brachas of Shemona Esrei, or 19 for us, are in fact set. Maybe the endings of the brachas, maybe were set, but the text of the body of each bracha, Rifainu Hashem Bnei Rafei, Re'eva Onyenu Riva Rivenu, you know, Slach Lan Ovenu, that was not rigid or fixed at all. Today, I pull my siddur off the shelf and that's rigid or fixed, but that was not the case. So a chazan could get up there, I'm not sure which bracha, maybe in Rifainu, and say, Al kan sipa yagir rachamecha, and you should have mercy on us too, right? You could figure out, you know, in the bracha of Hodah, someone could have said, before we say, Atov Shemcha Lachon Elodos, V'al Tov Yizacher Shemecha, could have made up his nosach in the middle. And that would have been perfectly, that was the norm. When you don't have written text, and tefillah was not a written text until, even before, it was written before the printing press. We certainly have machzorim and things like that that were written. But until you get to the medieval period, tefillah was much more fluid. And it was probably still fairly medieval in the fluid in the medieval period. And it's only as time goes on with printing that things become more and more rigid. Larry, your question was, you want to repeat your question, because I know it was a response to that about making long and short.
It was, you know, how do we have such fluidity in brachos that we can, you know, do it one way or the other with a chasima, without a chasima, you know, what was the havamina?
So I would say that the Mishnah assumes a great degree of fluidity, but there are certain rules. And when the Chachamim set the bracha before, first bracha before Kriya Shema, to be poseach bebaruch and chosein bebaruch, that you can't change. You can change a lot of things in between. There are certain themes you have to hit. You have to have midas yom and midas laila, as we'll see when we get to the Gemara. But it does not a fixed rigid nesach, but you have to start and end with a baruch. Second bracha does not begin with a baruch, but it ends with a baruch, etc., etc. So the Mishnah in effect is really setting the parameters which you can't cross, but everything else in effect is really fluid. But it's a totally different way of looking at tefillah than the way we look at tefillah today.
Rabbi,
Larry, go ahead, and then Sam.
But obviously, we know because there are different nuschos of tefillah, right, already, right? Svarad, Ashkenaz, Chabad, you know.
So let me ask you.
So we already know that there are differences.
Following observation. Look at, I'm pretty sure, I'm not, you know, I rarely bav in nusach Svarad. But look at Nusach Svarad and Svaradim and compare the Chasimos HaBracha of the Brachos in Shemona Esrei. Are there any differences? I think all the differences, you know, lie within the body of the Bracha itself, but not in the Chasimos HaBracha, that they have a Chasima, and even the Chasimos HaBracha is uniform. Because I think that halachis today work with the assumption, if you're davening in shul and you mess something up in the Bracha, I'm not going to correct you, but if you mess it up in the Chasima, we might make you go back. Right? But that would be the only place, because everything else pretty much it's not ma'akif. You might, again, you have to hit certain themes, but the primary, the real bracha in the sense of not what's real or what's necessary, but what will prevent you from being yotze begins when you get to Baruch Ata Hashem and whatever the chasimus ha-bracha is.
I guess the only big difference that's obvious that I can think of is in benching. Bonei Yerushalayim versus Bonei Barachalot.
No. So that's not an Ashkenaz versus Sfarad thing.
I'm just saying, though, that's a difference in the chasimus ha-bracha, though.
Correct. But that is... And Barachamav is strange because that's not part of the original Nusach. So why people assume that you could add it in. But yes.
The chatima of the very first bracha is actually different for Yemenites.
Okay. So I purposely didn't say that because I don't know what Taimanin had. And it might even be, Marshall, that when you go back far enough in time, maybe before the Rishon, maybe in the Gaonic period, and certainly you could make the argument that Gemara, it's not clear that the Chasima had to be exactly the same, except for the theme was pretty clear. And by the way, what is their Chasima, Marshall? I know it's a family affair for you.
I'm having stage fright.
Okay. Well, what I will tell you, though, is that the term Hazon, I don't know how they end it. Hazon is already mentioned by the Gemara. It's called Birchas Hazon. I'm pretty sure. But it may be that they have something slightly different afterwards. Sam, you had a question.
Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi in the Mishnah seems to be assuming that we know what the two, what the Mishnah, what the brachos are, right? Just says the number without actually stating what those brachos are. If
correct.
That's the assumption that the Mishnah thinks its reader will know what the brachos are, what was added by just counting? Why did the Mishnah need to count up those brachos? Is it possible that there was a fluidity where you maybe didn't have to say both brachos? Maybe you could have chose one or the other, and now the Mishnah is coming to tell you that fluidity now is coming to an end, that you must use both brachos. The brachos that you know about, both of them must be used, and you know, either before and after or what after.
So
what's the purpose of counting up the brachos? If the assumption is the reader knows exactly which brachos we're talking about, couldn't the reader count it up for himself? Why did the Mishnah need to count it?
So I don't think there's any way of determining that. The Gemara will talk about the Gemara in Yud Aleph Amud Beis is going to quote the Mishnah in Tumid, where the Kohanim perhaps only made one of these two brachos in the Mikdash, and the Gemara is going to talk about why. They have to do with the time of mourning. It's not clear, but the Gemara assumes the possibility that you can make, not that normally you shouldn't make two brachos, but that each bracha exists independently and you're still mekayim making the bracha if you only make one. The Gemara in the end is going to settle for the fact that maybe brachos are ma'akos, that there's no point in making one without the other, but the order actually doesn't matter. And we will talk about that. But to sort of know what was there, whether the Mishnah is codifying versus dictating is very hard to know. There's just no way of knowing that. I think it's impossible to determine, and I don't think we have any evidence that I'm aware of in Tanaitic literature for what was before. Rabbi Lookstein?
Yeah, in support of what you were saying, that the Chasimas HaBracha is not really subject to fluidity. Rav Soloveitchik, I remember once, I think, in Shir, somebody was talking about repeating words in Shmon Esrei, in Chazara Sashat, and he said, I'm not in favor of repeating words in general, but in the middle of a bracha, it's not a problem. Where you can't repeat is in the Chasima Sabracha.
Yes. You know,
so the business of Melech al Kol Haaretz
v'Kadosh. Yeah, he's going
to
go.
Right. You sort of have to let the Kohal go ahead, and then the Shliach Tzibur can say once, Melech al Kol Haaretz.
It happens in the Bracha Achrita of Sheva Brachos as well. And people are going to sing.
Right. Yeah,
so you have to let them sing, but you don't say it twice.
Right.
Yeah.
Rabbi, one more question.
Yes.
Is the Chasimas HaBracha, is there an equivalence if there's a Shem Hashem in it or non-Shem Hashem in it? Like Ayah Hasreinu, Mikol Tuvli Olam Ayah Hasreinu.
That has the same status in terms of modification of the Chasimas HaBracha or not?
I'm not getting the question.
So Ayah Hasreinu is the end of, is the Chasimas HaBracha.
Right.
Does that have the same restrictions in terms of fluidity, do you think, as when it doesn't have Hashem's name, Shem Hashem, as when it does?
Well, in other words, if there's no bracha at the end, I think it has the same rules of fluidity of the rest of the text. The only thing that's fixed in that bracha, I mean, you have to have a tov ha-meitiv, probably that theme, but the only thing that's fixed is Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, etc. The rest, I think that's all. The point is that that's not called the chasima.
Chasima
is the end of the bracha. A psicha and a chasima, by definition, are Baruch Hashem or Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Okay. So now I want to focus, though, on the question of achas arucha v'achas kitzara. So if you look at Rashi for a moment, it's six lines from the bottom of the Rashi lines. In the middle of the Mishnah, Rashi writes, achas arucha v'achas kitzara, ashtayim la'achareha the arvis ka'i. It's talking about the last, by night, the Mishnah says you make shtayim lefanel and shtayim la'achareha, and it's going on the latter two. And then somebody added in parentheses, nusach achar arucha emes remuna kitzara hashkivenu. Now, the difference between these two versions in Rashi might be that according to the first version in Rashi, when we say achas arucha v'achas kitzara, one long and one short, does that imply which one has to be long and which one has to be short? Which, if it did, you would say the first one long, the second one short, or not. It might be that when you make brachos in Kriya Shema at night, afterwards, one has to be long, one has to be short, but you could lengthen or shorten whichever one you want. Now, if Rashi understands that, and whereas according to the version in parentheses, the nusach aker, it means achas arucha means the first one has to be long, and achas kitzara, the second one has to be short. Now, if you think about Rashi's interpretation for a moment, what does it mean long and what does it mean short? So clearly, emes v'emuna and hashkivenu are the same mold. I mean, they don't start with a bracha, but they end with the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, without Elokeinu Melech Haolam, with shame but no malchus. So that cannot be the distinction between the two of them for Rashi. If you say that emes v'emuna is arucha and hashkivenu is kitzara, in which case, what you're really left with, and Rabbeinu Tam does agree with this, arucha refers to the length of the bracha, and kitzara refers to the length of the bracha. It's going to present a series of problems, Rashi's interpretation, as Tosas is going to comment in a moment. But what Rashi, it sounds like from Rashi, is that arucha and kitzara, and therefore, what the Mishnah means in the next line, that makom she'amru laharich eino rashai lekatzer, lekatzer eino rashai laharich, that you're not allowed to change the length of a bracha, according to Rashi, means you cannot shorten emes v'emuna and you cannot lengthen hashkivenu. And arucha and kitzara refer to literally the size of the bracha. Count the words. Tosos had a problem with this. Tosos writes, Peirush Rashi, this is the second Tosos from the bottom, Peirush Rashi, arucha emes v'emuna, kitzara hashkivenu. Tosos has the nusach achar Rashi. In fact, I'm willing to bet that the printers, when they printed Rashi, stole this other Rashi from Tosas. They had in front of them Ashtayim Acharei the Arviskoi, and they pilfered from Tosas because Tosas quotes Rashi as we have it in parentheses. And it may be there's no difference between those two versions. Rashi may not have intended optionality, which could be long, which is short, but at least in the Nusach Acher and Tosas' citation, it's explicit. Emes v'emuna must be long, and Hashkivenu must be short. So Tosas asks, V'tema, it's very strange. The hashkivenu nami arucha harbe. So he says, hashkivenu is a pretty long bracha. And the truth is, it is a pretty long bracha. You know, the question is, if I ask you, am I tall? Well, I suspect that if we were standing here in person in the shir, I would rank as a pretty tall person. But if I were standing, you know, in the middle of, a group of professional NBA players, so then you would think that I was pretty short. So hashkivenu is pretty long and it's pretty short. If you compare it to emes v'emuna, it's a little bit of a midget. If you compare it to shaka nei abidvaro, or even I would say the bracha after the megillah, ravas rivenu, you know, hashkivenu is pretty long. So Tosfos first says hashkivenu itself is very long. Viteda, and this is a proof which we're now going to look at. I'm going to show you the Tosefta. Viteda midaloka chashav lebe Tosefta behade hakitzaros. The Tosefta that we're about to look at lists some brachos which are arucha, some which are kitzara, and it doesn't list the second bracha of Kriya Shema. Now, this is a very weak raya of Tosos, as the Rashba will point out, but first I want to show you the Tosefta. So I'm going to share my screen with you. And if you take a look in the Tosefta, the top source, the Tosefta says, Eilu brachos shemekatsrin bohem. The following are brachos that we go short. Hamivarech ala peros, okay, borei priya eitz, that's pretty short. The al hamitzvos, al letilas lulav, that's pretty short. Birchas hazimun is our nusach. The Rashba, I think, has birchas hazman, which is shechianu. Shechianu is really short. And birchas hazimun is also pretty short. You know, what is birchas hazimun? It's not Rabbi Semer Velen Benshin. Birchas hazimun is nevarei shachanu mishalo, bar shachanu mishalo tocheinu, bar shachanu mishalo tocheinu. That's all the birchas hazimun. So that is considered short. Ubracha acharona sheba birchas hamazon. That's kind of interesting. Hakel avinu, malkenu, adirenu, barenu. That's considered a short bracha according to the Tosefta. The elu bracha shema arichin bahem. The following are brachos that we make long. Tanios, birchos tanios, ubirchos shel Rosh Hashanah, ubirchos shel Yom HaKippurim. Now, the brachos of the tanios, I presume, are the additions to some of the brachos of the Shemona Esrei that they would do on a tiny tzibur. They are described in the Mishnah in Tanis. The brachos of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, I assume, refer to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofos. I assume refers to the middle bracha on Yom HaKippurim, where at least in the Chazaras Hashatz, we do the Vidui. Those are considered long brachos. So Tosfos says, if Rashi were right that Hashkivenu were considered a short bracha, why does the Tosefta not list it amongst the short brachos? Now, the problem with Tosfos' question, I think, jumps off the page. It should be at anyone. Fair enough. Hashkivenu shouldn't be considered a Kitzara because it's not listed in the brachos that Mekatzrim Bahem. So do you think Hashkivenu is a bracha Arucha? Why not, Larry? You can't unmute, okay. So the answer is because the Mishnah Tosefta doesn't list it in the long brachos either. And it doesn't list it in either one. So it doesn't tell you anything. Right? What? Your alternative choice is that Hashkivenu, and by the way, MS Famuna as well, are neither long nor short. Right? So the Tosefta is not dispositive to the determination of whether or not Hashkivenu is Arucha Ksara, because it doesn't list it in list A, and it doesn't list it in list B. But that was the first question in Tosos. V'od pa'amim shema'arichim harbe b'tosefes kimo or yom henef. So the truth is, if I were my 15-year-old self, or even my 17-year-old self, reading this Tosos, I would be scratching my head with not a clue as to what Tosos means here. He says that sometimes we are marichin harbe bitosefes with an addition, kemo or yom hanef, or henef. So Tosos here, again, if you, I don't know how many of you, KJ does not do Yotzos, I'm pretty sure. Is that correct?
No. Absolutely not.
Neither does the shul I daven in, neither does the shul I grew up in. I did the shul I leaned in when I was in high school and college, which was Ramosha's grandson. So he was makbid to add the yotzros back in for the Arba Parshios and for Shabbos HaGadol. That was the first and only time in my life I ever heard it. I'm sure if you go to Breuer's, I'm sure at Breuer's, they do all the yotzros.
We once did in KJ. We used to say yotzros when I was very, very young.
Rabbi Blaschel says them.
I'm not in the least bit surprised about that. So Yotzos really were, they died in the last century. They were once really an integral part of many tefillos on special Shabbos and similar occasions. So Tosos here is referring to some type of Tosefes. There was some type of piyut added in. Or Yom Hanef means the second night of Pesach, which in Eretz Yisrael probably wasn't happy in Eretz Yisrael because that was Chol HaMoed. But the second night of Yom Tov on Pesach, there must have been some long, expansive poem or piyot or some kind of material that was added to Hashkivenu. So Tosfos says, if Rashi is correct that the Mishnah is prescribing Achas Arucha v'Achas Ketara, how is it possible that we add in this lengthy expansion in Hashkivenu? I actually, my family never stops talking about it in Memphis, where my wife is from, and I got married there. So I think that the chazan, who's really a very fine chazan, So he once did a Hashkivenu. He didn't add in any words, but the Hashkivenu went on and on and on and on. And I think for a while in the family, that's still spoken about as a certain thing. It might have been the Shabbos of my Ofrif, actually. It was an unforgettable Hashkivenu, but that's not what Tosus means. Tosus means that they actually added in words that weren't in Hashkivenu, not just that the Chazan Chazan. So Tosus says, how is it possible that we add in and lengthen Hashkivenu when it has to be a bracha kitzara? So number one, it's already long, Tosa says. Number two, it's not listed in the kitzaras in the Mishnah. Number three, we make it even longer certain days of the year. So then Tosa says, ve'od, emes ve'emuna pa'amim shemekatzrim ba me'od. Sometimes we make emes ve'emuna very, very short. Kida amrinan lekamon. Now, just a little background before I explain before we read what Tosa is about to quote. We all know that you have three brachos, three parshios of Kriya Shema during the day and at night as well. Because we know that we say Kriya Shema, the third parsha, at night, even though it would seem not to make sense. Why shouldn't we say the third parsha at night?
Well, the Lila loves Zman Tzitzis.
Because Lila's not Zman Tzitzis. We don't have Tzitzis. Those who have the practice of taking out their Tzitzis to kiss them don't do it at night. Because there's no mitzvah of tzitzis. So why would we say the third parasha? The answer is for the last pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, liyos lachem elokim, ani Hashem Elokeichem. So we say it because of zechiras yetzias Mitzrayim. But some of you, in fact, I'm willing to bet all of you know this Mishnah. It happens to be the last Mishnah in our Perek, but you don't know it because it's the last Mishnah in our Perek. You know it. I could start the Mishnah, and every one of you could finish this Mishnah Baal Peh, because you know it from the Seder night, right? Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei ani kiven shivim shana, velo zochisi sheteomer yitzias Mitzrayim balelos, ad shedrasha ben Zoma, shenemar leman tizkor es yom tzeis chameretz Mitzrayim ko yimei chayecha ha-yamim, ko yimei chayecha ha-lelos. So we all know that, except for, remember the next part of the Mishnah. V'chachamim omrim, yimei chayecha olam hazeh, ko yimei chayecha lahavi l'mos ha-mashiach. Now, when we read it in the Haggadah, for whatever the reason that we read it is, because it's not clear at all, because we're not doing zechiras yetzias Mitzrayim and the Seder night, we're doing sipu yetzias Mitzrayim. I know the Rav has a whole yortzeit drasha about this issue. Put that all aside for the moment. On Leil Pesach, did your children ever ask you, or did you ask your parents, what is the position of the chachamim? Do they disagree with Ben Zoma? And the answer is, they sure do. The Chachamim in that Mishnah, who interpret Yemei Chayecha as Olam Hazeh and Ko Yemei Chayecha is Lahavi Lemos HaMashiach, they believe there's no mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. And if there's no mitzvah of Tzitzis at night, and there's no mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, then there's no need to say the third parsha of Kriya Shema at night. Not only that, but fundamentally speaking, a major chunk of Emes Emunah becomes superfluous because there's no need for Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, and that's what Emes Emunah is about. So the Gemara later is going to talk about sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't say the third parsha.
But then there would be no Geula, Smichas Geula Tefillah, if you didn't have the third paragraph of Shema and Emes Emunah.
So I think you still probably have Goal Yisrael. And in other words, there is a bracha. You can't get around that because the Mishnah says there's a bracha. The Mishnah doesn't say you have to read all three parshas a night, but it says that there's two brachos afterwards. So the Gemara later is going to talk about how they abridged. They might have abridged the third parsha. They might have actually had a parsha that said, I forget, there's like a pasuk, one pasuk in Achrei Moser Kedoshim that kind of bridges the beginning and the end of the third parsha of Kriya Shema. You wouldn't know. You'd think you were starting the parsha, but you're not, and you finish things up. It's like one pasuk, and you also don't have the full nusach of Emes Ve'emunah. So the Gemara later will talk about what the nusach is, but Tosa says the following. The ode, Emes Ve'emunah, pa'amim shemekatzrim ba'me'od. You shorten it greatly. Kedamrina lekamon. Leman da'amar ain omrim parshas tzitzis balayla.
And you move on. If you don't say the third parsha, you can have some type of mention. You took us out of Egypt. It's very, very short. Very short.
It's in the second parak of the Masechta. So we will explore that, God willing, not so distant future.
But bottom line, Tosis says, is that sometimes emes v'emuna is curtailed very much as well. So Tosis says, Rashi cannot be correct when he reads the Mishnah, achas arucha v'achas ketzara, the way Josh did, which is achas arucha means that emes v'emuna is long, must be long, and hashkivenu must be short, because hashkivenu isn't short, and even if you think it's short, it's not always short, because we add stuff in. And emes v'emuna isn't always long. And therefore, Tosa says there must be a different interpretation. So v'nira l'rabbeinu tam, v'hakol ko'i ha'emes v'emuna. The line, achas arucha v'achas ketzara, is referring to specifically the first of the two brachos after Kriyat Shema. We said, Shtayim lefaneha and Shtayim lachareha. And Rabbeinu Tam says, the Mishnah is now commenting about the Shtayim lachareha, that the first bracha, Emes v'emuna, is Achas arucha v'achas ketzara. What does that mean? Kilomar, Beid yarech ba, Bein yakatzer ba, kidil kama. In other words, the Mishnah says you have two brachos after Kriyat Shema at night. One of them is Emes v'emuna. You make that bracha, whether you make it long, or whether you make it short. That's what it means. Ben yarech ba, ben yakatzer ba. It's acceptable to go long, it's acceptable to go short. V'chein ashkach nahasam, we find elsewhere, achas aruchos, v'achas nesuos, achas besulos, v'achas bulos. It means whether, or whether, or whether, or whether. So that's how Rabbi Yutam wants to interpret achas arucha v'achas ketzara, that it's going back on emes ve'emuna. There is another version of Rabbeinu Tam that we're going to see the Rashba quotes, which translates the words achas arucha v'achas ketzara the very same way, but it goes on what follows. Achas arucha v'achas ketzara, whether or not a bracha is long or short, makom sha'amru l'harach en rashai l'katzer l'katzer rashai l'harach. Whenever we have a long bracha, you can't change it. Whenever you have a short bracha, you can't change it. Now that is actually more plausible reading, I think, than this first version of Rabbeinu Tam, except that it doesn't really solve the problems. It doesn't solve the problems, because if you're telling me the rule is whenever there's an arucha, you can't make it short, or when there's a ketzara, you can't make it long, all of Rabbeinu Tam's questions come back to bite. You have it, the way Rabbeinu Tam reads it, as we have it in front of us in our Tosos, does it solve the problems. When the Mishnah says, achas arucha v'achas ketzara, it's telling us, and probably not only emes v'emuna, probably means the two brachos after Kriyat Shema, you can make them long, you can make them short. In other words, generally speaking, the rule is whenever the Chachamim said short, you have to go short. And when they said long, you have to go long. But the Birchos Kriyat Shema, maybe Emes Amunah, maybe Emes Amunah Ashkivenu, Achas Arucha V'Achas Ketzara. Those, it doesn't matter whether it's long or short. Okay. So Rabbeinu Tam does, however, agree with Rashi that the definition of Arucha and Ketzara means the length of the bracha. I don't know what the cutoff point between long and short is. I don't know if 76 words is short and 77 words is considered long. I don't know what it is, but they both assume that length and brevity are defined by actually the way we would normally define it. Arucha and Ketzara are not conceptual properties, but they are sort of normal physical properties, if we can use that term here. The Rashba, however, takes a very, very different approach. So I share with you my screen again. And the Rashba, after rejecting Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, writes the following. V'nira li, d'may d'katoni, makom sh'amru l'katzer en arashai l'harech, makom sh'amru l'harech en arashai l'katzer, lav l'meimra she'en arashai l'katzer u'l'harech b'nusach habracha. That doesn't mean that you're not allowed to make the bracha longer in terms of its words, longer or shorter. Klomar, Lirabos ulamayit b'milo seha. It doesn't mean that you can't make more or fewer words. The im kain haya lahem lisake nusach kol bracha ubracha b'milos menuyos uv'inyonim yiduim. Chazal should have spelled out for us every single bracha with the number of words and exactly what has to be there. Ulahashmi enu kol bracha ubracha b'nuschasa. And to teach us every bracha with its nusach. V'zeh lo motzinu b'shum makom. You never find such a thing. Now, the truth is, not to contradict the Rashba, you do find such a thing. And it makes me kind of wonder if this was a little bit of a rebellion against the Rashba. The one source that I'm aware of that consistently counts words, I know this is true in the Tfilos of Shabbos, is the Tur.
If you look at the Torah in Shabbos, when he talks about the nusach of the middle bracha of Atakidashta and Yismach Moshe, he counts the words and makes comments about the number of words. I do kind of wonder whether or not this is a, remember who the Torah was. The Torah's father was the Rush. He fled Germany for Spain. He was a younger, I don't know if he's truly younger, but he was a contemporary of the Rashba. They have some dialogue. I think they get along, but clearly the Rashba is the one who cast the giant shadow in Spain. And the Torah is the Rashi's son. And the Rashba is the one who says, we never find anybody counting the words and telling us exactly what's there, which is exactly what the Torah does in his Sefer Nor HaHaim, in Hilchos Shabbos. It may be just coincidental. But the Rashba is correct in terms of rabbinic literature. We don't find any such thing. Now, we do find specifics, as he says, Velo Amru, Ela Hamilos Sheyesh Hakpada Bahem, Levad. The only things that we do know from the Gemara about Nusach are the specific themes or occasionally words that Chazal said have to be in a particular bracha. For example, Kimach Lokton Behazkaras Geshamim, or Vital Veruchos. When it comes to Mashivach Marad Geshem, we have a discussion that you have to have Geshem, you have to have Tal. Do you need Ruach? Do you not need Ruach? We actually paskin, you don't need Ruach. If you just said Morid HaGeshem and you didn't say Mashiv HaRuach, that would be fine as well. V'chein beBirchas HaMazon. Similarly, in Birchas HaMazon, she'amru l'kamon, ko shelo amar, bris ba'aretz, o shelo hizkir, malchus beis David bebonei Yerushalayim, machzir enosav. So if you don't say in the second bracha of Birchas HaMazon, v'al brischa shechasamta b'vsareinu, or something like that, which makes mention of the covenant of the Bris Milah, or if you don't mention Malchus Beis David in the Bracha Bonei Yerushalayim, v'al Malchus Beis David Mishichecha, and you make the person go back, you have to repeat Birchas HaMazon. If you don't say al Torah, you need bris and Torah. I don't know why the Rashba separates them. The Gemara later in the seventh parak will say that kol shelo amar bris v'Torah in the second bracha, you have to go back. Which is, but incidentally, the reason why the Gemara has a suffix where the women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon, because since bris and Torah, both mitzvahs from which women are exempt, are integral parts of the second bracha, perhaps women aren't chayavos. That's I think, Tosis' explanation why the Gemara has a suffix whether women are obligated midoraisa and birchas hamazon. V'chein kayot b'chayotze b'zeh b'ktsas milos pe'emes v'yatziv kigon yitzias mitzrayim u'malchus u'kriyas yamzuf u'malchas b'chorim. In other words, there's certain themes that Chazal say you have to mention. Avo b'shar nosach habrachos lo nosnu b'hem chachamim shir sheyomar kach b'kach milos lo pachos v'lo yoseh v'lo amru kama milos ilmar b'zeh. They never tell us how many words they have to say that you call it arucha or it's a ktzara. Below od, ela shebeferush amru beyurcha shel tvila. In Shmona Esrei Brachos, they say she'ilu ratza lahosif bechol bracha bracha me'ina bracha mosif. You want to add stuff into brachos. In Rifa'inu, there's already a somewhat established nusach. You add a hiratzon in Rifa'inu, and you can add it, you can make it longer if you want. If you want, if you're having trouble with parnasa, you can add in whatever you want into the next bracha of arei cholenu, right? That's the bracha parnasa. In any of the brachos, in the middle brachos, you can add in personal bakashas. You can make them as long as they want. So afilu yu milos hatosafos yisera malaikar afapisha osana brachos habim tsaros. Clearly, the brachos of Shmona Esrei are short, at least the middle ones, but you can add in whatever you want. You can make it six times as long, and that's okay. Uvebirchas haperos, he goes further. Amru besamach, we're going to see this on Daf Yud Beis. Nokit kosa dechamra biyadei. You're holding a cup of wine in your hand. Vekosavar deshichra, you think it's beer. Posach bedeshichra. The Gemara says you begin the bracha with the bracha of shechar, of a beer. Vesiyem bedechamra. Yotza, but you finish with the bracha with Bari Priya Gofet, your Yotze. Now, what does that mean? So, the Rashba here is going to quote an interpretation that he personally rejects, but he wants to prove it's a position of the Gaonim to explain that Gemara, which he personally rejects, but points out that the Gaonim had no problems saying what they said, despite the fact that you're lengthening the bracha. Now, let me just tell you now how we understand this Gemara.
we understand the following. I pick up a cup of beer. A cup of wine. I think it's beer. I say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, thinking I'm going to enjoy this delicious beer. And then I open my eyes. I catch a glimpse of the fact that it's Herzog. It's not Coors. So I realize, oh no, I don't want to say Shakol Nanapivar for beer. So before I utter a single word that's wrong, and only I and the Ribbono Shalom know that when I said Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, I was going to say Shakol. So I just correct myself and say Baruch Pri HaGafen. Good save. The question is, am I Yotze or not? Since the Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam had in mind a chasima sabracha, which you're not Yotze with. If you say Baruch Pri HaGafen on beer, you're not Yotze. So the way we paskin, I believe, is your Yotze. As long as you said the right chasima, you know, you only had the wrong kavana in the part of the bracha that's the standard nusach, you can't tell the difference, you're Yotze. But the Gaonim actually went further. And the Rashba used this as to prove that even if you make a bracha longer than it should be, it doesn't matter. And he says the following. Ubebirchas ha-peros amru b'samoch, a daf from now. Nakit kasa d'chamra b'yadeh, v'kasavar d'shichrahu. Pasach b'd'shichrah, you open brachat Hashem l'kenu mecholam, v'siyim b'd'chamra, yatsa. Kelomar, what did the Gaonim say this means? Afilu amar behed yashakal nye b'dvaro, bari pre'agofen, kidasa Gaonim zal. The Gaonim say, and the Rashba himself is going to reject this later, the Gemara means the following. Brachat Hashem l'kenu mecholam, shakal nye b'dvaro, bari pre'agofen. I realized after I said shakal nye b'dvaro, before enough time had elapsed, that this was wine. The Gaonim say, you're yotze. That's how they read the Gemara. So, but you're adding in words. So he says, Avopi, Shabirchas Aperisik Tzara, Avachshav Hericha, you made it longer. Similarly, Ubirchas Hazon, Arucha Krina Lebe Tosefta. He has, understand, not when we saw the Tosefta, he has not Birchas Hazim, but Birchas Hazon. So he says that's called Arucha. I'm sorry, I take that back. Not an hour Tosefta. He must have that in the second half. So he says, Birchas Hazon is described as Arucha. He has a different version of the Tosefta. And yet, in the Yushalmi, and the Yushalmi, apparently Yushalmi must have that Nosach. But Ba'afilu Hachi, the Rashba says, Asikna Lekaman, the Gemara later in the Masechta concludes, Gabe Minyamin Raya, Bishperek Shlosha Sha'achlu, in the seventh Perek, the shepherd Minyamin, Da'afilu Amar, Brich Rachmana Mare Dehai Pita. If a person says, blessed is God, the owner of this bread, Yatsa. Your Yotze, the first bracha, Berchas Hamazon. Now that's a pretty short compared to Hazanas Olam. Umash Mahasam B'Gemara, Dafilu L'Chatchila. That L'Chatchila you could do that. Midemaisi Allah, Elu Namar B'Cholashom, Etzech Vahi Afilu L'Chatchila, Uchlamashma L'Namai B'Yushalmi. So the Rashba says, it sounds like, you know, that is perfectly acceptable. And that's a really short, I mean, don't tell this to people. Because you can imagine, we're going to soon have the abridged version of Berchas Hamazon according to the Rashba and Brachas. Right, we'll have, you know, a four-line Birchas Hamazon. That would not be a good thing. So, although we do have it for Tefillah, we have the Birchas Havinenu, which is a really short version. We have something even shorter in an emergency situation, although you have to daven late if you can, which is called the Tefillah Ketzara, which he will reference. So he says that Bechena hi damrina lekama beperek hayakore, what the Gemara says in the second perek, lo omar ani yashalo kechem, eno emes veomer modim anachnu lach, that was the Gemara Rabbeinu Tam referred to. The Aval Pisha Oso Nusach Katzer Me'od Min HaNusach HaMesukan. Even though that is much shorter than MS Vemuna, nonetheless, L'misha Omer Ani Hashem Elokeichem, to someone who said the third parasha of Kriyashma, Uchamosha Amarnu L'mala. So basically the Rashba says, none of this adds up. It doesn't make sense to say that you can't lengthen or you can't shorten within a bracha. And therefore, that cannot mean that means that when the Mishnah says "Makom sh'omer l'katzer in a rashai laharich, laharich in a rashai l'katzer," it cannot refer to the middle of the brachos. So it must refer to something else, and that's what we're going to pick up in this point in the Rashba next week. He's going to offer his interpretation. Now, by the way, I should just really correct one thing that I said before: the Rashba does understand, like Rashi, achas arucha v'achas kitzara. Number one, it means one bracha long, one bracha short. And number two, he does understand that it's a reference to what comes before in the Mishnah. He does not agree with Rashi as to what the meaning of arucha and what the meaning of kitzara are, but that we will explore as he presents his view on the Mishnah next week. Are there any questions?
Rabbi Weaver.
Yes.
Hazan Berachama Betakal.
What's that?
Yemenite bracha is Hazan Berachama V'Tekol.
Okay, so you know what? That really, if it's Hazan, we say so that just adds in the word Barachamav. So really, that is the same Chasima. You know, it's the same thing as Larry asked about Bona Yerushalayim or commented about Bona Yerushalayim, adding Barachamav. Where adding in those words comes from, I don't know, but it's the same thing, fundamentally the same thing. So really, more or less, it's the same bracha. Yeah. Okay.
A question?
Yes, Isaac.
Makam Sh'amru Laharach. If there are an underlying basis why at some places there are ruchot and in some places there are kutsarot, is there some underlying reason for it?
The answer to that, the short answer to that question is probably no. Now, one thing I would say is you do have to, you're assuming like Rashi and Tosos, that aruch and tzar refers to petit length, yep. And the answer is perhaps not. I'm struck by a Tosos that I have to teach, but the yeshiva is learning Pesachim, and Tosos just writes at the end, the Gemara has a somewhat famous dispute. Do you say albir chametz or levirus achametz? And we say albir chametz, we say al netilas lula, but leshe basuka. Which form do you use? So the Rishonim have a whole discussion when you get to the conclusion of the Gemara. What's the rule, actually? What's the pattern? And Tosos just has a one line after making a comment about a specific detail. Tosos says, V'ri lo matza tam l'chol ha-brachos. The Ri was unable to find an explanation for why some brachos, all the brachos, to find a paradigm when it's levirus achametz and when it's albir achametz. And I'm sure that this is even more so. If you read like Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, achas aruchas ketzara, I don't think we know why sometimes they made it long, sometimes they made it short. What the Rashba is going to say, we may have something of a clue. Certain types of patterns when they made arucha when katsara, but we have to first see how the Rashba understands achas arucha the achas katsara.
Thanks. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay.
Okay. Everybody-